Rob Nichols and Friends.
Yes, Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and Friends in full force. Rob, welcome as always to issue 484. Of
Hello.
Course, the edition of Watford and two right. special guests today. We are blessed, are we not?
It's fantastic. Mm.
TV Supremo, the star of so many animated ads, I thought it was the equivalent to seeing Bob Hoskins in Who Framed Roger Rabbit when I saw The Delights of Charles Arthur doing his stuff. Charles, welcome to your first ever Fly Me to the Moon podcast.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Exactly. As you said, last time you were at Middlesbrough, there were a lot of Brazilians playing.
Absolutely.
Football.
There were, yes. And they used to win.
Two things which we have put right in the near future, and we've also brought along a new jobbing journalist doing a workplace, of course, with you, Rob. Would you like to introduce the delightful Louise?
Louise, would you like to say something?
Hi.
Who's also produced an article on giving racism the red card. Louise, which school are you actually based on?
I'm from Sacred Heart Secondary School in Redcar.
Oh, excellent. Right, and obviously Tony Mowbray's red card background sort of all slots in together, doesn't it, really?
Yep.
On the show today, we'll be looking clearly at Middlesbrough's City Bid 2012. Of course, love Middlesbrough. We've got a whole variety of things, including Viv Anderson's Nana coming through. But it's a bit of a somber note to actually start off with, Rob, because I noticed that you've axed Donkey Watch for very good reasons.
Yes, Gary Brogdon, who has been writing Donkey Watch for quite a while, and he sells, and a lot of people will buy the fanzine off him. He sells it in near Dr. Brown's. Tragically, his wife died last weekend, so just leaving the page blank in tribute to Diana Brogdon, who will be much missed.
Hmm. Yeah, so it's a tribute as opposed to being axed from that point of view, otherwise.
Yes.
All sorts of issues will be coming through. So, a point against Portsmouth, then.
Yeah.
Hard-fought 0-0 with a bar being hit, and I suppose, thank heavens, that Scunthorpe are just changing all sorts of managers, and Preston
right.
might have started winning, but it's too late for them. And
everyone else is hitting the panic button, you could say. No, it was a really good battling point. The big sort of turning point in recent times was half-time against Derby in the last home match. Mm. At half-time, you looked around the stadium, it wasn't just half-empty, it was two-thirds empty. Mm. 1-0 down, terrible game, really bad atmosphere.
And then we, Zamama do anything at all?
Well, we rolled up our sleeves, didn't we? First of all, Sepp Hines, who'd been a lot of criticism of him, he scored. Then Zamama got a brilliant winner. And Rhys Williams, who'd been out of action for 11 months, suddenly came back into the fold and was proved himself a colossus.
A last-minute victory, and 2-1, 3 points, relax, everything's okay, we are on course for mid-table mediocrity.
Yeah, and then go down to the south coast to take on Portsmouth, who was like the land of the giants, the great big fellows, they play very physical football, and
nice reference that to the recently released, or shortly to be released, DVD box set of Land of the Giants.
Is that right?
Correct? Yes, coming out at the end of the month.
Right.
Owen Allen will be pleased with that. can you name the character who actually played the lead captain in Land of the Giants?
No.
Steve Burton.
Right.
Played by Gary Conway. Sorry, it's nothing to do with Flying to the Moon, I just wanted to throw it in there.
I always thought, actually, when I used to watch Land of the Giants when I was a kid on TV series,
Fitzhugh,
I always thought
Chipper.
It looked like... Yeah, well, I always thought it reminded me that the spacecraft that crashed was like Billingham Forum.
Mm. Yeah, the Spendthrift. That was what it was called.
Is it?
Yeah,
you know a lot about this.
I just
totally misspent you, I think. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Don't get me started on a voyage to the bottom of the sea.
Right, no,
space.
Don't. No.
Please.
Stingray.
Anything can happen in the next 23 minutes, or indeed, you know, regularly. Could be our theme for Fly Me to the Moon. Charles, in terms of Middlesbrough Football Club, clearly it's related very solidly to the town, hopefully shortly to be City, etc. But your thoughts on football generally?
Well, I'm not a great football fan. Mm. Rugby's my game, I have to say. I'm not a great football fan. I like to see Middlesbrough do well, and I always keep an eye out to see whether they are doing well or not. It does give the town a bit of a boost, I think, when they do well. But I often wonder, and it'd be interesting to see what other people have to say about this, but is it not sometimes better to be sort of second division team doing reasonably well than a Premier League team that's just constantly fighting to avoid relegation.
Like Hartlepool would claim, as indeed a first division team doing reasonably well.
One of my colleagues at work, one of my partners at work, Martin DeMiley, he used to have a season ticket at Middlesbrough, and he used to go with his kids quite regularly. And when they were relegated from the Premiership, he actually said it was much more fun to go and see tight games, even when they lost. It was a lot more exciting than to see them getting thrashed by Chelsea and Man United and all the others.
In fact, I recall when Martin actually came to the studio a year or so ago and we shared the Flying to the Moon thing, he held the magazine in trembling hands, he said. Impressive.
Why was that then?
Because he's in awe of obviously the whole system.
My beef with football, and it goes right the way to the top of the sort of Premier League, my real beef with football is the lack of respect they show, particularly to the referee, and I just do not understand why they won't embrace the technology that's available to them. Mm. You know, as I say, rugby's my game, and if there's a disputed score, if the referee's not sure about it, well, he just goes and asks the television referee, and it's there. You either had your foot over the line or you didn't. And why is it that in football they can't just stop and say, you know, did the ball go over the line? Was it really a penalty? Did he die? Was he really offside? Because when you're watching it on the telly, it's just instant, and you can see it there and then. And there's absolutely no reason, it seems to me, when there's so much money involved in the game, they just can't embrace this technology and show a bit more respect to the referee.
Rob, any thoughts on that one?
it's a very good point about the technology, and I don't see how it can be ignored any longer. We're watching the Cricket World Cup at the moment, and we're seeing the way that decisions are deferred. It doesn't hold up the game very long. Obviously, there'll be two arguments. One is that football doesn't have the same amount of breaks as other sports. It's designed to keep flowing all the time. And secondly, an argument would be that the football game at the highest level should be exactly the same as football on a park field or whatever. But I don't think that, and that's an argument made. I don't think it's realistic anyway to say that.
That's just nonsense.
And I think the officials would welcome to get the sort of technology, because they realise that everybody else is watching their mistakes and they haven't got a chance to do anything about it. And I think that would help also what Charles saying. If they had that help, it would help to give the respect with the players and the officials. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's ridiculous that it isn't being put into place.
Let's get the view of the next generation, Louise. Your thoughts on this? Technology in football, should we have it?
Technology should, if you can use it to your advantage, then I think you should.
Mm. Okay, we'll
got to be right. It's just crackers not to.
We will come back to this ongoing debate. Plus, of course, Viv_Andersons_Nana. Interesting article. Plus more from Louise and a whole heap of other things in the second part, of course, of Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. I thank you.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
I'm here with Charles Ather of personal injury solicitors Ather & Co. to find out whether it's faster to settle a non-fault accident claim through your insurance company.
There's no way of telling, as every case is different. But what I will say is that settling quickly may not be in your best interest. I wouldn't want to recommend you settle quickly for, say, £2,000, when, if argued properly, a claim may be worth much more.
Well, I know who I'd choose to look after me, Charles.
Choose the one.
Call Middlesbrough, 222-575, or text advice to 81400 now.
Pharma Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. Pharma Nord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes, and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call Pharma Nord on 01670-519989. That's 01670-519989. Or visit pharmanord.co.uk. Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and high-quality care for residents, provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential elderly, EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long-stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at info@rosevillecarecentre.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
When you suffer a road accident that's not your fault, it's easy to be persuaded to go along with your insurer's recommendations. But I spoke to personal injury expert Charles Ather about that.
In my opinion, phrases like, you have free legal cover with this policy, are meaningless. If the accident wasn't your fault, you've nothing to pay anyway. I think what your insurer may mean is, but we've already sold your claim.
And if I don't want to be sold, can I choose my own solicitor?
Of course. It's your right to choose what's best for you. Choose the one.
Text claim to 81400 now.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
So Viv Anderson's Nana, Rob, explain what's it all about. An interesting line with Tony Mowbray.
That's right.
And as he opens up the line, Monday night could go down as one of the most important nights in the history of Middlesbrough Football Club. Why?
Because Tony Mowbray came to a supporters club meeting, addressed the supporters club at Riverside to a packed house, and he just totally spoke from the heart about his... He answered questions, but in the course of the evening, he just sort of laid down his vision of how he wanted Middlesbrough to go, how he wanted to play, but he also laid bare the facts of how much debt problems we were in, the realities of the situation now that we might have to go one step back and sell more players before we could go two steps forward. The fact that we've got, like, we're carrying a wage bill that is double QPR's, who are top of the league, that we, it's twice as big as we can afford.
How can the players afford their walk-through wardrobes if they don't have the money to actually cope with that? Sorry, Stuart Downing, I know you're at Aston Villa now.
Aston Villa now, that's right. No, it's basically a legacy of having been in the Premier League for 11 years, never expecting to be relegated, that... Other clubs like when West Brom, that he was previously manager of, when West Brom went down, they had a clause in the contract which was you were paid one level in the Premier League, one level if you went down. If Middlesbrough had been in the same division for 11 years, you're carrying a lot of players on a totally different sort of sphere of wages. The gap between Premiership wages and Championship is unbelievable now, and that gap is crippling us as a club. Oh. So it's basically talking about the realities of how he wants to get back to a situation where he can build a team, but before he can build a team, he has to manage the remainder of the players that he's got left, etc. It was a very enlightening evening, but also I think the fans just were applauded the honesty of Tony Mowbray, and also, as Louise can testify, because she went to a press conference yesterday with Tony, he's a fantastic speaker, isn't
he? He really is.
From experience, I think it's safe to say that getting a classroom of 15-year-olds to talk about racism, or in fact anything in general other than the latest series of skins, is not the easiest thing in the world. Throw in the fact that it's a Friday morning and nobody's really awake and you have a recipe for yawns. No, it's not my biography coming out about my time spent teaching at Ormsby Comprehensive. Mind you, it was mostly Friday afternoon if it was raining and you had a third year set of bottom end side students there. No, it was actually Louise Scholes who came up with that wonderful opening line to this piece, Show Racism the Red Card. Louise, why did you do this piece and what's the sort of foundation of it?
It was pretty much a spur-of-the-moment thing. We had a workshop with Show Racism the Red Card a couple of weeks ago at the school I go to, and I just got talking to Rob about it, and he said, well, do you want to do an article on it? So I did.
Not just that. Also, we have, in an email he sent to me, an excellent article on Show Racism the Red Card. Yes,
and
to get the E word from Rob Nichols, you have to be pretty darn good indeed. So, in fact, you're going to call maybe Andrew Glover, possibly had an E rating from yourself, Rob. That's what's very well put together. And again, in terms of that, why, from an educational point of view, why did you think that the students actually engaged with this whole process?
I really... I think it's just the woman who was working with us, she was really dynamic and she kept everyone's attention brilliantly. And I just feel that through the sort of techniques and the games and the quizzes they had us doing, they got the message across. And they weren't talking at us and they weren't sort of telling us a whole load of jargon that nobody understood. They were talking on our level so we could understand and we could really sort of relate to the sort of things they were saying and understand that there is no need for racism, really, which is great.
Charles, this is something that, from our generation, we've kind of, hopefully, we're seeing the end of now, but we can recall, and certainly shows like Love Thy Neighbour at the one level were kind of very much flagged up for that. Is this something which we've managed to hopefully address, and the sort of thing that Louise has been talking about, obviously a good thing for all, really?
Yeah, I think we have, generally speaking. I think racism is something that is just dying out with the sort of, it's a generational thing, I think. And it's probably the generation above us that is the last real sort of issue where racism was almost it was almost accepted. And I think now that that's moved on, I think as each generation comes along, it just becomes more and more unacceptable. And I think it's on the way out, and I think it's things like show racism, the red card in football, is just one way, is another way of just pushing it finally out.
And Rob, doubtless you remember the times where you couldn't get a player such as Viv Anderson or indeed Clyde Best, even earlier, actually going onto a pitch without getting various chants of various. I mean, that at least seems to have gone. We hope
it seems to have gone in our country,
unless you're Italian, of course.
Yeah, or playing somewhere in Eastern Europe. But I think it's very important to get the message across to the younger generation to make sure that it doesn't ever start again, and also that there are still challenges with perceptions on, maybe it's different sort of targets these days, but we see problems with people getting at gypsies or Islamophobia or whatever, and I think that it's important to say it is still racism, isn't it?
Do you think it's an issue that is particularly bad in football, though, because football does tend to be a bit of a tribal sort of support network, and it does seem more prevalent in football than in a lot of other sports, I find.
I think, I don't know whether you think this, Louise, but the fact that football is quite cosmopolitan in the terms of people playing for your town, they can use that as a positive message and positive role model to show that there's nothing to be feared, there's no barriers, that it's just people putting barriers up in their minds. I mean, I don't know whether you think that, Louise.
Yeah, I think I agree. I don't really know, but yeah, I think that with teams being from, especially with Middlesbrough, with it being from one area, it's like you will begin to sort of support your area in that, and having a dig at other teams for whatever reason, it's going to happen. I just don't think it should be racist.
Do you find that in your generation, you know, racism is much of an issue, Louise?
I personally haven't come across it too much, but whenever I have, I'm actually quite glad to say that the other people I've been around, and myself included, we haven't tolerated it. It's, if someone's being racist, people tend to call them up on it straight away, and it stops. So hopefully that'll continue until there isn't any.
I mean, I do think it's a sort of generation type thing, and I think it's dying out. I mean, my kids, who are sort of similar age to you, to them it's not really an issue. They don't do it. They don't tolerate it, and they don't understand why people like me. It is still sort of, to some extent, endemic in our sort of generation. And when they hear things like, you know, sometimes my parents or some of their friends will make the sort of comment that to them they don't understand that it's racist, because they don't view it in the same context as we do. And sometimes, you know, my kids sort of look at them, their grandparents, and they just think, well, what do you say that for?
Yeah.
You know, what a stupid thing to say. And they just think it's sort of stupid and ignorant, as opposed to racist and nasty. They just think, well, it's just a stupid thing to say.
But I think that is a big part of racism. It is ignorance. It's not understanding.
It's the mark of a good article that gets people talking afterwards, isn't it, Rob? So there we are.
well
put together. A reminder that Angie Taylor, who was promoting all the bands outside of Middlesbrough Football Club, she was bowled over for the upcoming performer. Of course, it's going to be Diamonds in the Dirt.
That's right, yes. I think it's a last-minute replacement, aren't they? A band stepped out, and Angie'd seen them recently and thought they were so good that she'd programmed them to play. So,
precisely, so interesting. Great to see that.
Diamonds in the Dirt, that's the name of the band, is it?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we can give you some even straight...
I was listening to Radio 2 yesterday. It was St. Patrick's Day yesterday, which was my birthday, and I was listening to Radio 2, and there was an Irish band called Ronnie O'Flanagan's Got a Good-Looking Pig or something.
That was
the name of this band.
Don't get Rob talking about his horse's head he wears when he's on stage performing, you know, his musical career. Not at this time, or his time writing for the Evening Gazette, etc. Middlesbrough City 2012, love Middlesbrough, City Bid 2012. We've obviously been backing this through the Flying to the Moon podcast and through Southside Broadcasting and beyond. Rob, share with us.
Yes, Middlesbrough Football Club are going to back the bid during the match with Watford. For me, it's a kind of like no-brainer that you've got to back it. I've been told that the council have so far have spent a sum of less than £1,000 on it, and it's basically much of the funding is coming from private enterprise. The reason that I'm saying it's a no-brainer is because recent new cities, Sunderland and Preston, which you'd have to say are similar in many respects to Middlesbrough, have found that the economic benefits have amounted to millions and millions of just becoming a city, which seems weird. Yeah. But I could just illustrate it simply by saying that a town centre department store suddenly becomes a city centre department store. It suddenly gets better sort of items in.
A legal firm suddenly is a city legal firm.
We're going to be a city firm,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah.
That means we can double our cost. We can double our hourly rate.
Happiness for sponsorship as well. But all sorts of other bits and pieces. So,
how does that work, though? Seriously, why does...
Well, they have actually... Basically, investigation was go out and look at Sunderland, look at Preston, the last two towns to become cities. What benefits have they accrued? They accrued massive benefits, and economically, they put sort of a figure down of millions and millions, both of them, that they'd actually made.
Really?
Just from
just by rebranding themselves as a city?
Yeah, by putting themselves on the map as a city, and it meant... I just did that example about the department stores, but that's maybe a simple example of that department stores suddenly become city centre department stores, get better sort of stock in. It could mean that they get more staff as a result, that everything goes up, and that you think of that with every business.
Can you just call yourself a city if you want to, or is there some sort of accreditation sort of...
You have to have royal assent, you have to have all sorts of qualifications to actually work through the whole thing. It's not just having a cathedral.
Not just a cathedral.
Absolutely.
No, that's no longer a criteria. Yeah.
However, I'm
fascinated by that.
See Charles Fly Me to the Moon podcast.
I'd never thought about that in that way.
Adds a whole level of education to the whole thing. Speaking of education, the leader, it's not so much a reader's letter, but it's an award-winning letter that Louise is going to actually read out for us today. What's the background to this one?
The background is that every match... kids at schools and football clubs, dance clubs, all sorts of things. Some of them, I'm distracted by the fact I've realised I've done a massive spelling mistake in the title. They do various functions at the match, like wave the flags when the players come out, or take penalties at half time, all the mums and dads go and watch them. And this is one particular primary school from Linthorpe where the children wave flags and were part of the big match build up and everything, and they had such a great experience that the staff said to the kids, would you like to write about it? And they had a competition, and the child that wrote the best letter, it's in the fanzine.
We're about to hear the best letter. Who's the author of the letter, of course, was Rob?
Is Ellen.
Ellen, this is a moment to actually just cherish and play back as often as
Ellen
you wish.
Gunn.
Ellen, with respect, no relation to Brian, presumably.
Presumably not.
It's just Ellen Gunn, because your letter is now going to be read out by the wonderful Louise after the Fly Me to the Moon podcast ident.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Off you go.
On Saturday the 26th of February 2011, me and my family arrived at the Riverside at 1:45 p.m. There were lots of other families from Linthorpe School as well. My friends arrived after me, so we chatted. Before the match, year 3 and 4 were doing the flag parade, and year 5 and 6 were doing a guard of honour. Doing the Guard of Honour meant the players came out onto the pitch and we waved flags and some of us held banners which said respect. When I walked onto the pitch, I felt very excited but a bit nervous. The game began and I got to my seat. I thought that the most exciting bit in the game was when Borough nearly scored. I think Joe Bennett was the best Borough player because he made very few mistakes. I wish I could say that Borough played the best football that day, but unfortunately QPR did because they scored 3 goals and Borough scored none. It was still a really good day.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
I genuinely got chills there. That was a wonderful interpretation.
Really, it was
very
brilliant.
Good indeed. Yes, I have to invite Louise back to become a regular sort of voiceover letter reader person. Because
so.
Obviously my acting skills might be sort of reasonable, but doing a sort of 7-year-old child, 8-year-old child.
A bit of a stretch.
I would have thought so. I would have gone in all sorts of other business. Watford. Not really a must win, but it'd be a nice win, really, I would have thought.
I think it's quite an important game because we've got an international break coming up and you like to go into that break with a win. And if we win on Saturday, then we've got, at the very least, a 7-point margin from the rest of the teams. And that is a really good way to round off the month. Going to April's when it's all going to happen. But if you've got 7 points... 7 points gap, that's a big gap to bridge, isn't it? So if we could win and beat Danny Graham, of course, ex-Borough player, who's scored, he's top 20 league goals for the season, isn't he? But if we could go on and beat them, then that shows a bit of progress and it keeps that gap there. And
all ready for the visit of Sven, of course.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Sven Jordan Eriksson, Leicester City men. Sven and his Leicester City men. There could be a rap scenario there. There could be a kind of dubstep beat to the whole thing, perhaps. But
perhaps.
Again, perhaps not. How do people subscribe for the remaining parts of the season for Fly Me to the Moon?
Yes, they can still subscribe, I guess. Get in touch. Have a look at the website, www.fmttm.com, and look at the subscribe button, or email me at robshrug@googlemail.com.
Genius. Charles, have you enjoyed your first Fly Me to the Moon
show? I
have,
very much so. And can I just say what a great title I think it is for a fanzine, Fly Me to the Moon. I think that is really good. Most of these football clubs, I imagine, have some sort of corny type heading or corny type title to their fanzine. But I think that's really good. Yeah, where did that come from? Is that...
I think it's time we revealed once again the story. The true hard... In fact, Louise, do you know how the Fly Me to the Moon title actually
was? It was a quote,
yes,
I believe. I can't.
By a fellow Red Car citizen, in fact, or at least about a Red Car citizen, currently managing Middlesbrough Football Club, from a former manager called Bruce Rioch, who said, Rob?
Said about his captain at the time, now the manager of Middlesbrough Football Club, Tony Mowbray, if he had to go to the moon, he would want that man, Tony Mowbray, by his side.
There we are. So, you see... All sorted through.
Well, I just think that from a marketing point of view, and it's a really great title. It really is.
And you know, Charles has extensive marketing experience.
Fly Me to the Moon. Exactly. I think that's great.
Brilliant, Louise. Have you enjoyed the show?
I have. Thank you.
Excellent. Coming back again.
Hope so. If you'll have me.
I think we're brilliant material there. Okay, Rob, time for you to actually lead the trio of dynamic duo of tantalising guests that we've actually had in the studio today with the final closing line for this particular edition, edition 484, of course, the companion to the magazine. As we say, get a hold of the magazine as well as listening to the podcast. Do both.
Yes.
You know, it's all great stuff for this. Away you go, guys.
One, two, three. Come on, Borough.
And up the Borough.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.